Edited. Okay. Hello, everyone. We are going to talk today about some good ass food. I am sorry I'm late. I was on the Clubhouse and finishing that up so I could get over here to you guys. I'm going to talk about why I look the way I do while we are letting people get into the room. So today is one of those days where I'm going to be doing something like, you know how we talk about dreading things? I normally like to work out first thing in the morning, and I have a 2-hour run today. There was no getting a 2-hour run done before my 7:30 call that started. So the only break that I have today is right after this. So from 9 to 11, and then I've got to be somewhere at 11:15. So I was like, all right, they're going to get the real deal. So I decided that I would wear my bandana that says I can do hard things today for all of you. But here is my workout gear. We are going to get it going. And what I want to do is make sure that all of you tag your accountability partners, anybody that you know inside of No BS that needs to learn how to plan some good ass food without guilt, worry, stress, all the things. That's what we're going to cover today. How do you normalize this? How do you get to where you can, make these plans and have them so that you're not feeling restricted all the time? So, all right. Good ass food. Let's get started. So the first thing I want to cover is a question that keeps coming up inside the group about taste versus volume. So I mentioned this the other day on our call. I believe it was in the good, better, best call when we did the worksheet. And I was talking about how for some of you, when we think about would I rather have more food or would I rather have really tasty food, a lot of times it's one or the other for us. At the end of the day, we probably want both. Like, I just want to be able to eat all I can of the foods that I love. That would be amazing if that could happen. But knowing the body, that is not how the body is even designed. You know, the body is designed to eat lots of kinds of food. The body is designed to eat just enough food. The body is designed to eat enough to get the goals that it wants, whether it's wanting to lose weight, gain a little weight, whatever it is that you're wanting to do. There's like intentional eating. So I brought this concept up and I thought I would talk about it this morning as part of the good ass food discussion because it's important. I want to say that when I was talking about it, the goal, I got to put my glasses back on. The goal is always to get to enough. So when you're first starting, I was always a volume eater. It was, I loved my McDonald's and stuff, but as I started losing weight, I started realizing that I wanted to, because I grew up eating buffets and eating to full and stuff, sometimes it was going to be easier for me to lose weight if I could still have the sensation of being, full. Now, I don't mean, and hear me when I say this, because I don't want you confusing enough, is I wanted to feel like I had enough. And had is a really good way to describe it. That meant some meals, I really wanted to have that sensation of it's going to last me a while. Even emotionally felt like I had enough. There's physical enoughness that is the goal for all of us. But when we're first losing weight, a lot of us can make a lot of traction and a lot of ground by eating to the point to where we feel like we've had enough. So if you know that quantity is going to be one of your things, one of the best things that we can do is start working on no longer eating unconsciously to just whatever and having really no stopping point until you're so uncomfortably full or until you're beating yourself up. We want to stop all of that kind of behavior. So one of the things that I did when I was losing weight was I started really realizing that I could include a lot of my favorite foods like pancakes and burgers and all this other stuff. But if I was going to keep losing weight, I knew that I was going to just have to eat less of that stuff. Less quantity, Because, I mean, think about it. Like, if I'm going to have baked mac and cheese with buttery Ritz cracker topping all over the top and every cheese known to man, it only makes sense. Like, I could eat a fucking truckload. There's no losing weight on that. There's not even going to be a lot of weight loss to be had if I ate to what I was going to feel emotionally enough with. So I decided that was when I was like, all right, if I actually want to be more of a volume eater, then I need to serve myself little portions of some of my favorite foods and bulk up a little bit with foods that I needed to get used to liking. Not like as a punishment, but I was going to have to start exploring fruit. I was going to have to start exploring having carrots and hummus. Some of the things that I'd never ate before. So for like a long time, I remember eating every day, like a burger. Like I really liked burgers. Like I've always really liked burgers. And I realized that if I wanted to keep a hamburger on my plan, and this was a homemade hamburger with like cheese and mayo and like a bun and all this other stuff, that I probably need, like if I really wanted to be able to feel like I'd had enough, like, all right, I feel really good at this level of eating, that I was going to need to start having veggies as my side and look like, say, like, I'm having the veggies because they're good for me and they provide some volume. And I'm having a little bit of this because it's like, this is what I really love. And it would allow me to have a little bit of everything. And then what ended up happening is that over time, I was able to start questioning, why do I like my I've had enough level came down as I was working on my mind. The goal was always to get to where I could eat just enough for my body and not like need it to also be emotionally enough. Because what I ended up doing was, as I talked better to myself, as I was always looking at things as a way of improving and stuff, here's what ended up happening. My need to feel full started to go away because I was filling my body up with more useful thinking. I was filling my body with self-love, compassion, hope, progress, success. Like I was sitting around setting myself up for ways to succeed and to get just a little bit better each day, that when all of that was starting to fill the tank, I didn't need to eat past enough anymore. I didn't need to feel full. I had removed that, like for me, when I was eating to full and when I needed to have a lot of food, it was to feel safe around food. And eventually when I kept working on my eating and working on my eating and seeing myself set myself up for success, I no longer felt unsafe around food. I felt like the person who was in control over it. And when I felt like I was the person in control over it, it was a lot easier for me to make different choices. There was this need when I ate to full that I could relax. Now I can relax. Well, as I spent my days learning how to talk differently to myself, I went into meals, especially in the evening, more relaxed. I didn't need to feel relaxed by eating to full anymore. So it was a process of changing things over and over again. So one of the things is to lessen the volume of good choices while pumping up the best. It's a great transition trick. So, you know, if you are like wanting to include, like, let's say you want cake every day and you want hamburgers and you want all these things, because right now you feel like you need them, but you're like, but I also want to feel full. And I would trade feeling a little bit fuller, eating like maybe enough for you is like just above enough, but it's not completely eyes rolling back in my head or burping or feeling miserable in my stuff. Like if I could just eat a little bit less than that, then what you do is you start looking for some of the best category foods or better category foods that you like. And you start saying, all right, I'm going to trade a little bit. Like if I'm going to have, let's say, fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, and cornbread for dinner, and I want to feel full, or I want to feel like I've had a good amount, I've had enough, I might look at some of that and say like, all right, can I give up the cornbread piece and trade it in for like broccoli and ranch dressing, baby carrots and ranch dressing, something along those lines? Could I serve a little less mac and cheese and add in some green beans? Like that's where you start playing with things. I know this is hard for a lot of you because your brain is just craving. If you would just tell me exactly what to do, I do tell you exactly what to do. If you want the four basics and you want to just exactly do it, then you need to just do the four basics as they're written. That is exactly what to do. But for some of you, you're just not ready for that. And that's okay. My goal is to provide you with a framework we want to get to eventually. But all along the way, the real goal is to empower you to quit being so fucking afraid that you can't lose weight. To empower you that you can play around with all this stuff and have a lot of success. To help you understand what you want and what you need and to start thinking about it as, I'm going to figure out how to start giving myself what I want, need, and change the inner conversations on my way to here. Most of you have never lost weight that way. You've only been losing weight, being told exactly what to do, ignore all of your thoughts and feelings, ignore your body, just willpower your way through it, just stick to the plan with no thought work, no understanding of what you're doing, no resolving your self-worth, no learning to appreciate yourself, no learning how to be more challenging of yourself. And that's what we're really trying to learn. So, question your enoughness, guys. Number one, at first, you only need a little less than what you normally eat. So if you're newer, stop making enough so fucking complicated. In the beginning, if you just get used to eating a little bit less than you normally do, that is enough. Some of you will lose weight doing that, period. Period. Some of you will stop gaining weight and you'll stabilize and you'll teach yourself that it's okay to leave a little food behind. Hey, look, I didn't die. Who knew? It wasn't near as scary as I thought. We like by just stopping short of our normal amounts, we teach ourselves to face our fears, to realize they're not as bad as we thought. We teach ourselves skills that we're going to need when we further the journey a little bit. Slow down and be aware of why you want volume. For those of you who are going to want to eat, to say like, I need to eat more, then here's what I would do. Go ahead and do that, but slow your roll when you're eating and let your brain like really be open to the idea of while I'm eating, I want to know what I'm telling myself. Why does it mean so much for me to be able to eat more? What is it that I like about it? What is it doing for me? Because if it wasn't doing something for you and there wasn't a hidden reason as to why you like it, or there wasn't a reason somewhere in there why it makes sense for you, you wouldn't be doing it. You wouldn't want to do that. So what we want to do is we want to understand that. When you uncover those thoughts, that's great to take to ask coaches. It's great to take those things to Facebook and post. And then we can help you work on challenging those things, putting them in the think, feel, do cycle where you say like, well, these are the things I'm currently thinking. It's good to know that I believe these things. What could I also believe? What could I also purposely tell myself so that I can unwind some of these self-sabotage thoughts and behaviors I have working underneath? And we'll do a lot of that at camp in May. The last one is question it in your journaling while providing food safety. So like I was saying, if you take it to Ask Coaches or you take it to Facebook, take some of those thoughts that you uncover, question it in your journaling, And let your brain know that, like, here's how we can start feeling safe around food. Because for a lot of us, it's when you write about it and you talk to yourself about what else could be true and how you would like to think, your brain now feels safe. It doesn't feel like you're taking things away from it anymore. It doesn't feel like you're going to be restricting and stuff. It's now starting to make changes in your food from compassion. All of this works exactly the same for the foods that you really want to enjoy. So this is for volume and for you do the same work if you are just like, I feel like I need to keep these foods around. So moving on to planning the good ass food. Let's answer the question, why plan foods that we binge on? That is one of the questions you guys ask me all the time. Like, why would I plan foods that I binge on? Well, here's why. Number one, you get to practice eating them. Guys, if you're seeing this and you're like, ooh, I want that, screenshot, take a picture of the camera. I hold these up for a long time for a reason. So if you really want what's on these pieces of paper, you can take a picture of it. That's all you got to do. I write these literally every morning. So we're going to practice eating them. What most of you are doing is sitting around not practicing with them. And then you end up having them because someone brought it in the house and you didn't know that son of a bitch brought in the chips again. Or you're at work, suddenly we're going someplace and your favorite food's there. And it's like, son of a bitch is buying lunch. We've got to practice on foods if we want to eventually learn how to show up for them. You can't just be surprised by them and then be surprised that you don't have control. And we do the practice eating of them on our plans deliberately so that we can prove they aren't bad foods. They're just food we happen to like the taste of. We like them a lot. In the past, we've overate them. And guess what? Now you need a new thought. And now I'm learning how to eat the foods I love and in a way that I can lose weight too. It's real important that you listen for your thoughts, because a lot of you put them on your plan and be like, well, I hope to fuck I don't blow it. Or you look at them and like, see, I always overeat these. Let's just see what happens. You can't talk to yourself with an overwhelming, anxious voice and expect like bliss and control just suddenly happens. It all starts with how you think. And then we also plan them because we want to get used to paying attention when we eat them. So I do want you planning the foods that you binge on. I do want you planning your favorite foods and stuff so that you can pay attention to what goes on in your head when you're eating them. So that if you're working yourself up and getting anxious, you can redirect your brain to, I'm learning to include foods that I love. I will always be planning these foods from now on. So I don't need to think I'm never going to get it. I don't need to. In fact, someone just got coached. I don't need to think that I'm getting it out of my system anymore. It's always going to be a part of the system. That's a shout out to my girl that I had to cut off on the clubhouse. And then we get used to not only paying attention, but enjoying the food versus living in fear around them or living in fear that someone's going to like pop out of a box and be like, donuts. So we want to make sure that we're practicing. Here is my pro tip. Now, I came up with this idea this morning, and I'm going to tell you what. I hope somebody does this weekend. I will be like next weekend. I won't be able to check in on the Facebook group and see what you guys are doing. I'll be at camp teaching my face off for 3 straight days. Most of you will be there, but I want to know if somebody's going to do this weekend. Please, if you do, post it in Facebook and tag me. And if my team will make sure I see it, it would be amazing. Brand new exercise I've never given out. Go to the store with a notebook. You ain't buying shit. Leave your wallet in like at home. Just take your driver's license. Set it up to where you can't buy anything. Then I want you to walk the aisles. You don't have to have your notebook out. You can if you want to. But I want you to walk the aisles. And I want you to listen to what you think when you see foods. All of them. Every food. I want you to write down your thoughts. So I was sitting there thinking, like, if I was going to do this, how would I do this? I'd probably be the bitch who'd be walking up and down the aisles looking at stuff. I'd write down the name of the food, and I would probably just write down my thought. Nobody would know whether or not I was, they would probably think I'm a chef who is going to be making something incredible. Or you could do it, and then you could go to a coffee shop, have you a nice coffee, a hot tea, some earbuds, listen to some of the sappy ass camp music from the Spotify list. If y'all don't know, somebody in my group will, like, they'll link you to it, and write down them thoughts. What are you thinking about? Or do you have a lot of, like, can't eat that, too many carbs? Ooh, that's a really healthy food that I should be eating. Like, what are you thinking? And then I would journal on it. Like, I would be like, well, it is no wonder that I get jacked up around food if these are my thoughts about it. So it's time for me to rewrite my story around food and what I want it to mean and what I want to think, because stores can be triggering for people. It can lead to a lot of anxiety, a lot of extra buying. Wouldn't it be nice to learn how to go to the grocery store and to just shop? Now, I will tell you, when I go to the store, I still walk through the bakery all the time, and I'll think things like, ooh, that looks good. But it's from a mindset of, like, of course it looks good. It's a donut. But I don't think I shouldn't think that. I wish I didn't think those things. Or, oh my God, I don't get to have donuts. Like, all of that chatter is gone. Now I get to literally just go to the store and admire food and buy food. It's nice. And it took years and years of teaching myself there was safety around food, that I was the one in charge now. And it took years of practicing eating things. It took years of overeating sometimes and not beating myself up and figuring out what my tips and tricks were going to be like. So the next thing I want you to do is to challenge your nutritional stories. So as you go through the grocery store, or if you want to just stand in your pantry, or you just want to, like I will tell you a way that you could hack this. If you have nutritional stories around food, go to Pinterest and, like, type in healthy foods and just look and see what populates. And then ask yourself, what am I thinking about all this? Don't believe any of it. Don't believe a smidgen of it, but listen to what your brain thinks and ask these questions. Is it useful? Is this thought about a tomato useful? Is this thought about a banana useful? You will always know if something's useful by the feeling. It's either going to feel empowering or disempowering. That's how you know. You just check in and be like, do I like this feeling? If I don't, I know it's not a useful thought. Is there a different thought I would like to have about these foods? A lot of you have nutritional junk advice all up in your brain. It would be very well of you to ask yourself, is this shit even still true? Like, anybody that's still living on a low-fat bandwagon, like, shit like that's been debunked. Low carb for women has been debunked. It doesn't mean that there aren't some people that do well, but it used to be like they acted as if all women should just be on low carb diets. They've debunked that now. Messes with our hormones. For some people, intermittent fasting does well. Guess what? There's new research that says a lot of people don't do well on it. It destabilizes hormones after a certain age. So it's like a lot of the stuff that you're holding on to, thinking you should be doing and stuff, I promise you, your body is smarter than you're giving it credit for. Listen to the wisdom of your body first. I don't care if you try fasting and low carb and high carb or low fat or all the fat, like whatever, whatever is clever. What I do care, though, is are you listening to your body, or are you just listening to what everyone else is doing and saying that you should be doing? Stop listening to what everybody else says. Start listening. Like, if you want to try something, try it. But be really honest. Is it working? Do not do shit for the sole sake of the weight loss. I think doing some of the stuff and saying like, because I'd like to lose weight, but I also need to know it's sustainable. I need to know it gives me energy. It better be keeping my hormones in check. Like, my skin better look good too. Like, for me, when it comes to food stuff, I got a criteria. It's not just about weight loss. There's more things to be included. When you think bigger, it's easier to question stuff. And the last one is, does my body agree? A lot of you are trying to do stuff over and over and over again, and your body doesn't even agree with it. So listen to your body. Here's the other thing I want you guys to think about. Food is not a shameful event. Stop making yourself a problem. When you eat, no matter what the food is, stop making it a shameful event. You'll know if you're doing it because you'll say things like, well, because I ate this, I am lazy, out of control, never going to lose weight. That's called making you a problem instead of breaking down what's going on in your head around food, what's going on in with your emotions. The next thing when it comes to planning some good-ass food is you got to start where you are. Learn to shut off your not good enough thinking. This is the biggest problem I see a lot of you run into when it comes to planning food you love. You will sit there and tell yourself, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Look, here's what's not good enough. You treating yourself like an asshole by telling yourself shit like that. Not good enough is now the trigger to tell yourself, no, it is. Because anytime I'm doing anything that is me trying to figure out something loving, compassionate, and better than a choice I made yesterday, or more loving, more compassionate, and is thinking about my future self, no matter how big or small it is always good enough. The only thing that's not good enough anymore is when you are sitting around tearing yourself apart. That's not good enough anymore. You need to tell yourself, that shit doesn't fly. And then here's the warning. I want to give you guys a big ass warning. Don't freak out if you eat good food and gain the next day. So let's pretend that we're eating some Chinese. You and I are like, let's get, well, I used to love, what was it called? It was orange chicken. It was like the fried chicken with the orange sauce and rice, right? I used to love that. I can't remember. There was something else I used to love too. I don't eat a lot of Chinese anymore. It doesn't settle well with me. Well, let's put it this way. The only Chinese I like is deep fried and full of sugar, and it just makes the ass run buttermilk. So there's that. I do not choose it for that reason alone, just because I don't like diarrhea. I just don't. So let's say, though, that we're all going to have some. I guarantee you right now that if I went and ate some Chinese today, tomorrow I would weigh 3 or 4 pounds more because of a sodium influx. One day doesn't screw you up, guys. I don't care what your scale says. I don't care if you binged. I don't care if you overate or if you just ate some food from the Cheesecake Factory or ordered you a pizza or whatever. Even if you just ate a piece or two, usually there's going to be just enough of a sodium swing and stuff that your body will hold on to a lot of water. So when you first start planning, like a lot of you who never plan good foods except for when you're going to go face down in them, and then you decide to weigh the next day, and then you act as if you gained weight, you gained water. All of you, please quit weighing your self-esteem the day after you include some good food. So anytime that you're going to plan that stuff, if you're not going to have a healthy relationship with the scale, here's what I would do. If you're going to plan your nachos, or you're going to plan your margaritas, or whatever you're going to be planning, right? I would not weigh the next day. I would either way the next week, like eat it, like prove to yourself it works. Now, if you binge out on it, you're emotionally eating and stuff, and you're gaining weight, don't sit there and say, see, I can't have those foods. That's not the case. It's like, see, in order to lose weight, I shouldn't eat these foods when I'm an emotional wreck. That's more of the lesson. We keep blaming the foods for our weight gains. The foods aren't really doing anything. It's like, did I eat it on plan and intentionally? Did I give my body time to let go of some of the sodium? That is what we have to think about. So make sure that you notice the data and decide what you can do and would like to do. So like for me, it's like whenever, like tonight is date night. We're going to go out tonight. I'm going to have some wine and I may even have some French fries. Guess what I will not be doing tomorrow? Hopping on the scale. It's useless data. I mean, if I want to just see how much my weight will fluctuate, fine. And I'm fine with that. But that's taken me years to get to where I can do that. But I don't need to weigh in after I've had fries and wine to tell me that my body's going to hold water like a camel. I got that. And I always tell you guys, what goes up fast comes down fast. What makes weight stay up is when, ooh, I overeat and I overeat a bunch of nachos. Ooh, I feel so terrible about myself. Let me do that for two more days. All right, now let me restrict for a day, get pissed the scale doesn't go all the way down, and let me eat again. Yeah, that's when we start gaining real weight. When we shame ourselves and act like nothing we do works and we start blaming the food. Take responsibility for your eating. Stop blaming the food. That's all you got to do. So here's what I want you guys doing. We're on the weekend. I want you to plan a good food and I want you to eat it mindfully this weekend. I want you to figure out something. And when I say mindfully, I don't mean, you know, watching Netflix, catching a movie and stuff. I literally want you to pick one of your foods and I want you to eat it mindfully. I want you to eat with the intention of enjoying it and savoring it and building a relationship with it, paying attention. And then I want you to write about it. What was the experience like? For some of you, you've never done that before. It might be surprising and delightful. For some of you, it may be excruciating. You're going to be trying to eat your favorite food and what will happen, and this is really good to know, is that you'll have your M&Ms or whatever it is. And when you do it mindfully, all of your self-talk will come in. All of your, you shouldn't eat this. There's no way you can lose weight doing this. All that kind of stuff. Do this for me. Let all of it come up and tell yourself, that's the information I want to hear. Because one of the reasons why I have such a problem with this food, the reason why I have such a problem with this food has nothing to do with the food itself. It's this that I'm thinking. That's the real problem. And I want to hear it. And I want to understand it so I can write about it and tell myself, we don't have to think like that anymore. So every time I eat one of these foods, I know what my brain's going to want to tell me. And over time, I'm going to teach my brain, we're okay. We're figuring all this shit out. And you be there for yourself. Guys, this is the end of week one of Basics 2.0. I hope that you are enjoying this course. Please let me know in Facebook if you're getting a lot out of all of this. If you are, amazing. I will be back on Monday. I do want to tell you there will be one slight change for next week. I will be live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central Time. So Monday and Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Wednesday, 9 a.m. Central Time, and we will do a worksheet together. All of it's in your resource guide. All of it's on the website, on the training calendar, so you can find where everything is. Thursday, I will be live, but I will be from the hotel because I will be leading a team meeting all day long, but I'm going to do y'all's live first. Friday is officially when camp begins. Friday, the Basics 2.0 class will be pre-recorded and loaded into Facebook, loaded into the Private Member Podcast, and loaded into video replays. It's the only, I think, I think it's the only day that I'm not going to be going live. I may have to not go live on that following Monday, but we're still trying to figure that out. I have a team meeting that day too. So we're trying to figure out all the things. But next week, I'll see you live every day but Friday, but you will get a video. All right. Y'all have a good weekend. Keep working hard. Keep posting. Keep tagging. The tagging in the comments is really working well. It's getting more and more people engaged. So don't leave your no BS sisters hanging dry somewhere. Tag them and let them know. Please listen. Even say, like, tag your people. If you're in an accountability group and you know they struggle with it, say, here's the one thing you should learn. Like, this is the one thing I want you to hear. All right, guys, let's get to work. Bye, y'all.